Blog Talk Radio.
FanDuel presents Sunday Victory.
Yeah. Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is October the 4th. Hope everybody made it through Ian okay. I knew people that had some problems with it, but poor Florida, I feel bad for them in Puerto Rico. They got slammed, but hurricanes are... nothing to be frivolous about, because they're going to do some serious damage. I mean, you saw the devastation down in Fort Myers. And fortunately, I live on a mountain. I don't have to worry about hurricanes. An earthquake, maybe. We don't get them through here. I think the mountains, the way the Appalachians fork, that's Fork with an R. Around my county, between Big Walker and East River Mountain, it kind of deflects a lot of the nasty crap, which I'm happy about. But anyway, I sound a little rough. I think I got a cold. But I haven't had one in a while. They said they're supposed to be prevalent this year because of... the pandemic. But I remember getting a cold like every year. I think it took a break during the pandemic. So the way to avoid colds, I saw this on TV this morning. Good old NBC Today Show with their medical professionals. Social distance, wear a mask. It's like, you know what? F you. Get your flu shots. Get your COVID vaccines. I'm going to just have to hand out a joint and say, here, smoke this. If you get it, you won't care. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We didn't do a They Still Live podcast on Sunday because Jeff had to work, but we should be back this week. Like, a lot of his stuff that he might have scheduled for Friday was postponed because of Ian. Now, he lives in North Carolina. He used to live in Wilmington. I know they got a good bit of flooding there because I think they're on the coast. Well, they are on the coast. I used to live down that way on the coast, sort of. It seems like the thing that everybody rents down there, mobile homes, trailers. Not a big fan. I'd like a solid structure, but you got to do what you got to do. A lot of action this weekend. Trucks, Cup, and Xfinity were out at Talladega. Nasty wreck, but fortunately he's doing okay, is Jordan Anderson. He was on the show a few years back because he was driving for Tracy Johnson, formerly of Make Motorsports. Then they split up and he drove for her and friends of the, what I call the NASCAR twins, identical twins from Maine, Ashley and Brittany Cody. As a matter of fact, I think Brittany's with a crew member. They've been dating for a while. Long-distance relationships are kind of hard. I think Ashley is now dating another person on a race team who actually was from Williamstown, New Jersey, which was right next door to where I used to live. So it's interesting how people gravitate towards things they like to do. But anyway, NHRA in action as well. Race number 3 of the countdown. And then that means 3 left. Wow. So let's check it out. Number 1 qualifier, Steve Torrence. Number 2 qualifier, Josh Hart. Josh Hart was on the show a few months back. Number 7 qualifier, another former guest, Justin Ashley. Well, let's see, Sean Langdon's been on the show. Brittany Force has been on the show several times. She was only number 5 qualifier this week. Not like her. Anyway, let's see where Josh Hart wound up. It was against Scott Palmer in round 1. He had a 071 reaction, 089 for Palmer, 369 with a 6. That's a good run there. 868, not even close. You can tell you know you have issues. Then up against Mike Salinas in round 2, who beat Justin Ashley. Feel bad for Elon Werner. because he reps all those drivers as well as Camry Caruso. But Josh took on Salinas. His 0.51 was 1/100th of a second better than 0.64 for Mike, with a 3.76 with an 8. Mike with a 3.76 with a 4, with a 6. And that was a whole shot win for Josh, moving him into the semis. Semis up against Sean Langdon. 0.71 for Hart, 0.50 for Langdon. This was another close one. But the 3.71 with a 2 for Hart was overtook the 2/100th of a second disadvantage off the tree. So Sean had a 3.74 with a 4. So that moves Hart into the finals against who's the lucky guy. Number one qualifier, Steve Torrence, up against Buddy Hall, round one. Nope. It was 3.71 to 3.91. Torrence a little lower off the reaction, but 2/10 of a second is a big difference. Up against Clay Milliken in round two. 0.74 for Milliken, 0.98 for Torrence. But 4/100 of a second for Milliken's 3.80 with a 6 wasn't enough to overtake 3.76 with a 3 for Torrence. And up against Doug Coletta in the semis, 0.76, Coletta 0.67, but it wasn't close, 3.72 to Coletta's 4.10. So let's see how tight the finals were. Whoa, Torrence with an 0.27. Josh Hart with an 0.48. 2/100 lower. And Torrence had a 3.74 with a 1. Josh Hart had a 3.74 with a 9. Give the win to Torrence. It was close. I said it was close. Lowy T, Brittany Force, 3.66 with a 5. Best reaction time, Steve Torrence, 0.27 in that final round. Top speed, Brittany Force, 338.4 mile an hour. Let's go on to the funny car. Robert Height up against nobody in round one, so there's only 15 people in the field. So he goes against the winner of the next part of the ladder, which will be 8, Tim Wilkerson, and 9, Blake Alexander. So Wilkerson got that one. Robert Height in round two with a 0.1. Well, he was taking a nap on that one. With a 390 with a 3. Tim Wilkerson, 0.73. So we're looking at 3/100ths of a second quicker. But that 3/100ths of a second quicker wasn't enough, because Wilkerson had a 3.97 with a 2. So that would give him a longer ET. And it wasn't enough to make up the difference. In the semis it is. Robert Height against Matt Hagen. They had 0.79 for Height, 0.58 for Hagen, but on the ET side, Height made the difference up with plus 0.01 with a 3.91 to with a 3 to Hagen's 3.94 with a 5. So the number three qualifier. Who's number one qualifier? I always give that one out. Oh, it was Robert Height. Number three qualifier, Ronnie Capps. 062 against Dan Wilkerson in round one. 393 with an 8.405. Not close. Round two with Capson Pedregon, an 066 with a 392. And Pedregon with an 095 with a 393. Then up against John Force in the semis. 081 for Force, 078 for Caps. 395 for Force, 388 with a 4 for Caps. Then in the stage 4, Robert Height and Ron Caps. So I guess Robert Height has to try to pull it out for the team. His team being, of course, John Force and him in the funny car division. So Robert Height with an 041. Ronnie Caps with an 059. And then Robert Height with a 391 with a 1. And Ronnie Caps with a 390 with an 8. Give the whole shot to Robert Height with the wind. The 388 with a 4 for Caps with a low ET. Robert Height had a best reaction of 041. And then Ron Caps top speed. Doc comes down to Dallas Glenn and Erica Enders. Now, Erica has been on fire this year. She keeps going. She's going to lock up her fifth championship. Now, I'm a big fan of her. She's done the show plenty of times. I haven't had her on in a bit. So I still root for her, though. Anybody that does my show, I root for. She was number 4 qualifier. And she went up against Chris McGahey in round one. Her 0-22 was a little slower than McGahey's 0-15 off the light, but her 6-52 was good enough to beat McGahey's 6-57 with spare time. Put her in round two against teammate Troy Coughlin. Her 0-24 is a little slower than Coughlin's 0-11. But her 6-52 with a 2 made up for that because Troy had a 6-54 with a 3. Put her in the semis against Kyle Koretsky. 0-39 for Koretsky, 0-26 for Enders. 6.54 for Koretsky, 6.53 for Enders. Erica in the finals. Let's get on with Dallas Glenn. Check his path. He was the number 6 qualifier. He went up against Mike DePalma in round one. He had an 0.17. DePalma's 0.46. And a 6.53 with a 4. DePalma's 6.54 with a 5. It sounds close, but it wasn't. So on against Aaron Stanfield in round two. 0-20 for Glenn. 0-36 for Stanfield. 6.56 with a 4. And a 6 for Glenn. And a 6.56 with a 1. I'll give the whole shot to Glenn. And Aaron Stanfield was sent back to the garage. Round in the semis, Matt Hartford, killer reaction time, 0-04. Dallas Glenn in 0-20. But Glenn's 6.56 with an 8. Hartford having problems with a 14.71. I think he coasted down the track. So up against the finals, it was a 0-59 for Erica with a 6.53 with a 5. Dallas Glenn red lit, I guess, and he just said screw it and rolled down the track for a 19.82. Usually when you you fall out, why waste the car? So Erica Enders gets her, I think, sixth win of the season. Loey T, Kyle Koreski, 650 with a 5. Best reaction time, Matt Hartford with a 004. And the top speed is Chris McGahey. Let's check the bikes. Gotta check the bikes. Bikes didn't run last time, so kind of weird. It was Matt Smith and Jerry Savoy in the finals. Smith faced nobody in round one. Up against Kelly Klontz in round two. Smith napping on the bike on the line, 1.1. The Klontz is 0.03, but the 6.78 with a 3 was enough to beat the 7.53 with a 2 for Klontz. Into the semis against Joey Gladstone. 0.19 for Smith, 0.23 for Gladstone. 6.75 with a 2. For Smith, 6.78 with a 2 for Gladstone. Okay, up against Mr. Savoy. Savoy qualified 7th up against Ryan Oler in round 1. 0.62 to 0.40. Nice advantage off the light for Oler, but his 6.84... Okay, I'm not getting this one. There must have been a red light somewhere because Oler had a better time in round one, but Savoy moved on to round two, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, according to this, Savoy lost all the way around, so yeah, there had to be a missing minus on the 040. All right, up against Angel Sampe in round two. 097 to Savoy's 037, so that's a 06 of a second difference. And Sampe with a 676. And Savoy with a 6.78. Hell, if she'd have been closer in that reaction time, she might have pulled that one off. But Savoy moves on against Angel's teammate, Eddie Krawick. 0.16 for Savoy, 6.81 with an 8. 0.62 for Krawick, 6.77 with a 7. Savoy to the finals. Up against Matt Smith. Smith with an 0.26, Savoy with an 0.28. But Smith's ET was a little quicker, a 6.75 to Savoy's 6.81. So give the win to Smith. Low ET, 6.73 for Angel. Best reaction time, 0.13 for Angel. Top speed, Matt Smith, 2.02. Let's check out the standings now that there have been some stuffing going on. Oh, these ads. All righty. In Top Fuel, it's a 14-point lead that Justin Ashley has over Steve Torrance. Brittany Force is third. Mike Salinas is fourth. Brittany has 30. Salinas has 35 back. Antron Brown is 43 back. Three races to go. I wouldn't put it past fifth place. But Josh Hart in sixth. Kalita in seventh. Eighth is Clay Milliken. Ninth is Sean Langdon. And tenth is Austin Proc. In the funny car division, Robert Height leads Ron Capps by 46 points. That's his closest competitor. Hagen is 103 back. Is Robert's boss, John Force, is 114 back. And I don't see it going past the battle getting out of getting past between Ron Capps and Robert Height. Hagen might be able to do it, but he's got to come up big in the next three events. But Task is fifth at 170. DeJoria, sixth. J.R. Todd, seventh. Tim Wilkerson, eighth. Cruz Pedregon, ninth. And Jim Campbell's, tenth. Play with this one. I could just keep scrolling. Okay, this one's about locked up pro stock. Erica Enders has a 120-point lead over Aaron Stanfield with three events to go. Kyle Koretsky has, in third, has 153 back. Troy Coughlin in fourth. I have a cat sitting on my shoulder, and he's digging in with his claws so he don't fall off. 157 back. I mean, it's a tight race from third on back to 10th. Well, 9th, really. No, 7th, really. Because after that, it goes from 194 back with 7th with Hartford to 302 back with McGahee. So, Camry Caruso, the rookie, give her time. She's still learning things in a new car and a new series. The team is growing together. She is in 10th, 310 back. She's actually tied for 9th, so good for her. And, wait, I just keep scrolling. I'm not used to this. Thing. Matt Smith has a 21-point lead over Joey Gladstone. And I think it's between them two, because in third is what is Angie Smith, and she's 90 back. Eddie Krawick, fourth. Steve Johnson, fifth. Jerry Savoie, sixth. Angel Sampe, seventh. Mark Ingerson, eighth. Karen Stouffer, ninth. And Ryan Oler in the 10th spot. Gianna Evaristo in 11th. I wonder if she's the... Gianna Salinas, Mike Salinas' daughter. But I know she was running. Maybe she got married. I don't know. Can you? No, you can't. Maybe I can Google her. Do the old Google. And there you have your NHRA wrap-up. Ooh, Google. Carbon neutral since 2007. Gianna Salinas Evaristo. Boy, I was right. Or so I thought. Anyway, let's check out the truck race. As I said, a bad accident with Jordan Anderson, but he seems to be doing okay. I seen a post from him on Facebook. He didn't say, hi, this is Mrs. Jordan, saying that Jordan is okay. So that's a good thing. Well, we have a first-time winner in the truck series, actually in any series that he's ever raced in. Matt DiBenedetto, 30th and finished, winning the checkered flag. He has no stage wins, but he does get 5 playoff points. Ben Rhodes was second. Brett Holmes was third. Ryan Preece was fourth. Fifth was Christian Eckes. Sixth, Haley Deegan. That's a good run for her. I think it's her first top 10 in a while, if at all. I think she might have had it in ARCA, but Chase Purdy, seventh. Colby Howard, eighth. Parker Kligerman, ninth. And Tyler Ankrum rounds out your top 10. Ran 95 laps. A total of 252.7 miles. Race took 2 hours, 12 minutes, 40 seconds. Average speed, 114. Margin of victory, under caution. Well, if you're going to do it. Anyway, you're in first taking that checkered flag. This was his DiBenedetto's first Camping World Truck Series victory. They were... Oh, Natalie Decker didn't make the field. There were 9 cautions for 36 laps. 26 lead changes amongst... ...12 drivers. Apparently, DiBenedetto took the lead on the last lap. It says, Ekis Levin from laps 85 to 93. Brent Holmes at lap 94 and Matt DiBenedetto number 95. So he got ahead of the crowd before a wreck and was able to, one of them last lap wrecks anyway. So he was able to hang on there. All righty, let's check standings. Okay, Chandler Smith leads Zane Smith and Ben Rhodes. Christian Eckes, Stuart Friesen, John Hunter Nemechek, Ty Majeski, and Grant Enfinger. I'm thinking nobody locked into the next round, so which will cut it down to 4. So let's check with our winner. I'm sure we got some good audio on the DiBenedetto.
All right. We are going to run into our post-race press conference here in following the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race at Talladega. We've now been joined by our race winner, Matt DiBenedetto, driver of the number 25 Chevrolet. Congratulations, Matt. It's great to see you. Tell us a little bit about those final laps, but really what was that moment like when they notified you that you had been declared the winner?
Ooh, I think my heart rate was higher then. That was insane. I've never been in a situation like that, but my heart rate was about, I think, 200, the whole white flag, and then the about the same, just waiting the whole time. Felt like we were sitting there for an hour, so that was crazy. I was pretty sure we got it, and we were just committed to staying on the bottom there at the end and pushing whatever line we were in and hoping that a gap opened up, and sure enough, it did. The seas kind of parted for us.
All right. We'll now take questions for Matt. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll get to as many questions as we can. If we have any questions in the press box, let us know. We'll try to get up there as well. And we'll start here to our left.
Hi, Matt. Nathan Buckley with MBS Speedway. In the Cup Series, you came oh so close so many times here. Today, you finally get it done in the Truck Series. Does coming that close in the Cup Series make this win even more special for you?
Yes, 100%. I was laughing earlier today, and I was like, goodness, we've come so close so many times at this track and been in position so many times. I was like, I feel like Talladega, of all places, owes me one, even more than Bristol or anywhere else. And it was so it made it all that much more sweet. Thank you.
All right. We'll go right here.
Right here.
Thank you.
Team Toronto CBS Sports, Matt, congratulations. Going off of that first question, you know, you've been trying to win in a NASCAR National Series for so long, here, Bristol, anywhere. Just overall, is it as good now as you thought it would be?
Even better. Even better. The wait was well worth it, and I know this was God's perfect timing for it to work out, and this was our day, and it felt like it as well. This place was a good opportunity for us. You know, we're a smaller team. We're, you know, going through some growing pains, and I knew this one was a great opportunity for us, especially, you know, as well as me and my spotter Doug Campbell work on these things and as hard as we've studied for them. And so this one was extra sweet doing it at Talladega.
You mentioned talking to TV and then again Victory Lane. You know, it's been an interesting past year for you, and you've I think you described it as being a reckless human being at times. What has gone through your mind after some things, some other things, and did you ever reach a point where you felt like, God, man, I blew it after leaving the Cup Series and coming down here to run trucks?
I've had an immense amount of life change, to say the least. Going from a state of, you know, everything in my life was crumbling on a personal front, you know, a year and a half ago to 2 years ago, and it caused me to really dig deep and ask life questions that I hadn't before, and I got very vulnerable and very desperate, and, you know, it's just a kind of a testament to, you never know what's going on in the social media world. Everybody's lives look all hunky-dory and great, and, oh, Matt's driving a Lamborghini, and, oh, he's got, you know, everything, their life's great for him. No, that's not, life ain't about stuff and things and fame and glory. And so what I'm getting at is, you know, the Lord truly saved my life, changed me, changed my heart, changed my ways. And I've had a lot to learn and a lot of maturing to do, and focusing on Him and what matters. And I owe it all to the Lord. And I'm so thankful to be here. And to answer your question, I wouldn't change anything. I'm so grateful for my path and being exactly where I'm supposed to be. Doesn't mean that path is a smooth flight. And for me, of all people, I'm so I've had to learn to not be so much of a bull in a china shop and be slow to speak. And I'm very grateful for how much I've been humbled. It was much needed, and I've been humbled a lot in life, and it's caused me to be much more vulnerable, and I'm very, very, very grateful to do what I do and to be in the position I am and to have had my life saved, my marriage saved, and to have been filled with a love that I didn't even know existed, to be truly honest with you. I was in I was a very different person, and I'm just grateful for every second of the path that I've been on in the last year and a half, and I'm so thankful to be right here in the Truck Series and driving for this team.
Thanks, Matt. Way
Thank
to go,
you.
Buddy.
Thank there you have.
Go ahead.
Matt DiBenedetto. All righty. Let's see who we got going to the Xfinity Series. Alrighty, Xfinity. Alright, somebody who hasn't won is looking for a championship. He's in the playoffs, so he did win. He did lock in. It is AJ Allmendinger. He led three times for three laps. So that one lap per time, the important one being the last one. He's got 5 playoff points. Did not win a stage, but, hey, sometimes you don't need it, and you're locked in. Second place, Sam Mayer, Landon Castle in third. Ryan Segan, fourth. Josh Berry, fifth. Parker Kligerman, sixth. Well, he's run both races. Seventh, Ty Gibbs. Daniel Hemric, eighth. Brandon Jones, ninth. And Noah Gragson rounds out the top 10. Now, what I did see yesterday on my way to work was a hauler for the number 62 Cup car, which is South Point Casino, and the driver's name on the side, Noah Gragson. I wonder where they're headed. I'll know where they're headed when I look at the schedule, because that's where they're headed. I'm surprised they're heading out so early. Usually you're coming up from Charlotte, and they're coming from Talladega.
I don't know.
Anyway, this is with the win. This is Allmendinger's 14th Xfinity Series victory. There were 3 cautions for 11 laps, 20 lead changes amongst 11 drivers. Usually with restrictor plates. They don't even have restrictor plates anymore. I mean, with all the new cars and all the stuff they come up with, I have to ask. It seems like hard to tell, but they still have the drafting, so they might still have the restrictor plates. All right, let's check the standings now. Points, driver points. Here we go. AJ Allmendinger leads the points. Noah Gragson is second. Ty Gibbs is third. Austin Hill, fourth. Josh Berry, fifth. Allgaier, sixth. Sam Mayer, seventh. Ryan Sieg, eighth. Daniel Hemric, ninth. Riley Herbst, 10th. Brandon Jones, 11th. And Jeremy Clements, the top 12. Clements needs some big-time points to get above the cut line. So Allmendinger wins, holds the points lead. Actually, he's tied with Gragson. They both have 2,134 points. I'm wondering how they're figuring that out. Gragson has more playoff points. More race wins. I don't know. Is it alphabetical? Don't know. Well, let's hear what when this stuff just pops up. AJ Allmendinger has to say.
All right, we're going to roll into our post-race. Oh, my. Oh, we good? Okay. Our post-race press conference with our race-winning driver, AJ Allmendinger, driver of the number 16 Action Industries Chevrolet. AJ, congratulations on the win here at Talladega. And tell us a little bit about those final laps there as you guys were kind of coming to kind of put yourself in position to be able to pull off the win there.
Yeah, we'd, you know, through the race had two good stages. So I was kind of in the back of my mind just focused on hopefully, of course you want to win it, but just having a good result. You know, the ultimate goal was to try to go to the Roval next week, being locked in the next round, and that was kind of in the back of my mind. We had a good day, and I thought, man, if we just get inside the top 10, we should be locked in next week, and we go there and try to win, and just think about winning that race and not have to worry about points. But, you know, most of the credit goes to Landon. Once he got behind me, that's what's amazing about this race team. It's always been is the teammate. The love that we have for each other, the respect, you know, the willingness to try to always make sure, especially at a track like this, that the caller Grayson Chevy was going to win, and that tone set by Matt and Chris, and you know, we owe it to all the men and women at Caller Racing to try to get one of those cars into victory lane. And Landon just stuck with me, and I thought I kind of let us down a little bit. I got a little bit too far out there and had to back up to him, and that allowed the one, the 39. To get in front of us. But, you know, really coming to the light, watching so many of these races, especially at Talladega with where the start-finish line is, and it happened with Matty D today, which was so awesome to see him get his first NASCAR win. I was pumped up. So love that I could share the same day with him on his first NASCAR win. But so many of these races lately, it feels like the third-place car down the back straightaway, especially on the inside lane, just kind of puts themselves in position to win the race. And so I kind of thought that, and the 39 went up, and we had a massive run on the one there. And, you know, honestly, I didn't even know if I was clear of the 39, so I just made a hard right and got to the right side of the one and, you know, thankfully barely beat him at the line to win this thing. Yeah, all right. I was quiet before. See? Yeah. Is it? Well, if I move back, you can't hear me, can you? Oh, can you? Oh. I'm loud as shit. Sorry. Sorry.
All right. We will roll straight into questions.
I'm old. I can't hear, so I can't hear myself. That's the thing. Yeah, okay, I got you.
So if you have a question for AJ, raise your hand. We'll get you a mic, and we'll start up front here with Stephen.
Stephen Toronto, CBS Sports. AJ, is this loud enough for you, first off?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
Neato.
Yeah.
Neato.
Yeah.
It looks like coming into the trial, the one car got a pretty big lead, and that gave both you and the 39 on your outside the opportunity to, you know, get a run on him. Was there any point in the trial that you were getting a run on Sam Mayer's car and you were like, in your mind, I got this?
No, I mean, obviously we could see the run that we had. I didn't know if we were even going to be clear of the 39. I could, you know, I kind of looked up right before we made the move, and it was close of him still being on my right side. But at that point, I just thought I had to take a chance to win the race. But, you know, that's what's tough about these races. That's something I'm still trying to learn at times, is how far out is too far. And Sam did a really good job to put himself in that position. And sometimes it's just dictated by both lanes kind of getting slowed down. So I backed up, and Landon just was shoving me as hard as he could. And even getting to the right side of him, I knew it was going to be tight. We kind of stalled out right at the line, and I thought I beat him, but wasn't sure until they told me that we'd won it.
And just so I'm clear, are you saying that you cleared yourself, or did your spotter at any point say, okay, you're clear of the 39, go?
He might have said clear. I don't know. I just made a hard right. It was one of those at that point. I've been close enough to winning these super speedway races that I just made a decision at that point. I have to try to win this, even if he's there. I don't know. And I think he said clear, but I cleared myself.
Right. Good to know. Thank you, AJ.
Yeah.
All right. Additional.
Why are you going to write that I'm psycho now? Is that what the part of that question was?
No.
He's like,
no.
Oh, he cleared himself. He is crazy.
No, I'm the crazy one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to continue with questions. We'll get a mic up front, and then we'll go to Matt.
Hey, AJ, I'm Nathan Buckley with NBS Speedway. First of all, congratulations. Second of all, did you and your colleague teammates at some point in the day have a plan to get together, or did it just kind of work out that at the end you guys were right there, that you could help each other to the win?
No, I mean, that's always our plan. I mean, and that's been set since day one. My first race with the team at Daytona when Ross won, it was you try to work with each other. You know, you get to the end of the race, you sometimes got to make moves on your own to go do it, but, you know, that's the thing. It's strength in numbers. If we can get three of our cars together, that's better. You know, I feel like for a couple of years we were able to do it, and the field kind of like just said, I wouldn't say they didn't notice, but it was kind of, they just kept letting it go. Over the last couple of years, they've definitely made a point that if we try to get together, that they try to, it's really tough on the third guy in line because he's the one that has to do the blocking. And he, you know, unfortunately that guy usually gets shipped. But with being on the bottom lane, I just knew Landon was there and was going to stick to me. And you know, of course, if he had a chance to win the race coming line, he was going to do it. But I knew he was going to do everything he could to push me to put ourselves in position to win it.
There you have AJ Allmendinger. All right, let's go to the cup race. Well, when all was said and done, we do have a playoff member winning a race, locking into the round of eight. And that is Chase Elliott, led four times for 10 laps, winning stage two. I think it was going to come down to between him and Ryan Blaney. But Blaney wound up second, Michael McDowell third, Ross Chastain fourth, Denny Hamlin, fifth. Eric Jones, sixth. Todd Gilliland, eighth. Daniel Suarez, Austin Cindric, ninth. And Chase Briscoe rounds out your top ten. Ryan Blaney won stage one. So there's both your stage winners near the top. So let's check the standings now. The win. Well, Chase Elliott pulls the points lead by two. Ryan Blaney, two back of Elliott in second. Ross Chastain, third. Six behind the leader, Denny Hamlin, fourth. Fifth, Joey Logano. Sixth, Kyle Larson. Daniel Suarez was seventh. Chase Briscoe, eighth. Ninth is Austin Cindric. William Byron, 10th. Christopher Bell, 11th. And Alex Bowman is 12th. So we have one race to go. Who's going to win that one before the round of 12 becomes the round of 8? So we had four in a row that no playoff contender won. And now Chase Elliott's the first one to win the lock-in. So we'll have to see what happens there. Let's see. We got our winner. I got to fight through. Winning team. I don't want the winning team. I want the winner. All right, we'll get the winning team.
Today's press conference, we've now been joined by our race-winning crew chief, Alan Gustafson. Congratulations, Alan, on another victory.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take questions for Alan. If you have one, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you. Who would like to kick us off with questions? All right, we'll go to Jenna.
Big day. Big question coming. We're waiting. Bated breath.
Congratulations, Alan.
Thank you, Jenna.
You're welcome. Why was this race so calm by Talladega standards?
Yeah, it's a great question. It seems like kind of both the races were before it. I don't know if maybe the stability of the car or it was just hard. You know, I've seen that all year. It's not three lanes, don't seem to work out. You know, there doesn't seem to be a middle option. It doesn't get fanned out. It's kind of about staying in line and pushing, and I think that contributes. And, it was certainly a bit tamer than I expected, but I kind of expected, you know, maybe not the typical four wide just craziness, because it just doesn't seem to generate, the cars just don't seem to generate the performance and the huge runs like they did. It's more just about that kind of steady seesaw momentum.
Yesterday your driver had some comments that were a little out of character for him to take such a stance. Did that surprise you?
It's the second time I've been asked about it. I don't know what he said. So it's hard for me to say specifically. I'm assuming he spoke out of about the safety. Is that correct? Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the way I look at it is this is, I certainly want him specifically and all the drivers, but, you know, my concern is Chase to be as safe as he possibly can be. We know this is inherently a dangerous sport, but I want him to be as safe as he possibly can be. So from my stance, I'll do anything I can do to make sure he's as safe as possible, and I feel like collectively in this garage there's a huge resource of intelligent people that we can push this forward and get to a position where it's not a topic, it's not something these guys are having to worry about week in and week out. I certainly feel terrible for Alex, and, yeah, you know, Alex shouldn't have sustained the type of injury he sustained from the hit he took, and we just all have to accept that and move on and move forward and push forward to make it better, and I think we can do that. I'm very confident we can do that, and that's what we got to focus on doing together. And collectively, I think that we've got a lot of resources to make it happen, and I'm sure NASCAR will do everything in their power, as will the teams, and we'll get past this quickly.
All right, we're going to come up front to Jordan, right up here. And then we'll go to Steven, and then we'll come back up front.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. I apologize, this was already asked.
And there we have Alan Gustafson. I didn't feel like waiting for Rick Hendrick. We're about out of time, so this coming week we are headed to the Roval in Charlotte. And then we have Drive for the Cure, Xfinity on the Roval, Saturday at 3 p.m., Sunday, October 9th at 2 p.m. Both races actually on regular NBC. I don't know. I think they got enough road courses. They didn't need to add any more. So you could check that out. Congratulations to Matt DiBenedetto. A.J. Allmendinger, Chase Elliott, Robert Height, Steve Torrance, Erica Enders. Did I miss anybody? Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm your host, Vinny B. We'll see you all next week. We'll talk to you all next week. We won't really see you. I haven't figured that one out yet. Should I go video? I don't know. Who wants to look at my ugly face at noon, 12 noon? I just have to comb my hair and stuff. That's what's good about audio radio. You don't have to get all prettied up like you do on TV or video. Let's check the schedule. Cup Series schedule. All right. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the Roval in Charlotte is the last for elimination for the round of 12. 8 drivers will go into Las Vegas to battle for one of the top 4 spots to race for the championship at Phoenix. So this is going to get interesting. Who am I picking for championships? That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't made a pick all season, but maybe when it gets down to the final 4, I might pop a question. I really don't see the contenders getting shuffled around too much in their present. So we'll just have to wait and see. Again, this weekend, the Roval, Saturday, October 8th at 3 p.m., Sunday, October 9th at 2 p.m., both races on NBC. Not USA, NBC. We'll see you all next week. I'm Benny B. Good day and good racing. Bye now.